Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to open them to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. You know, it's interesting. The more that we spend with the Lord, the more time we spend with Him, the more that our natural way of thinking should fall off. Because He has a way of downloading things to us that will change our perspective. And that's why it's so important to spend time with Him and spend time with Him, you know, away from somebody else's voice. I mean, you know what I mean when I say that. DVDs are good. If they still use tapes, I don't know if they do, you know. But if you got them, you use them, then, you know, tapes are good too. CDs are good. But you don't need a surrogate. We listen to all kinds of things all the time, but when it comes to our personal time with Him, you need to spend personal time with Him without somebody else's voice in the way. So I'm going to continue to encourage you to do that. Because here's what happens, guys. I've heard it said like this, that the kingdom of God is just opposite of the natural system. I guess I have to stay over here. In the natural system, the less you eat, the more hungry you get. But in the system of the kingdom, it's exactly the opposite. The more you eat, the more hungry you get. So there are things that are true about the kingdom of God, and there are things that the kingdom of God will do to you or do in you that will become apparent to everyone. Do you remember what it was said about the disciples after the resurrection of Jesus and He went to be with the Father? The disciples were in front of the religious crowd and they said this. They said they could tell they'd been with Jesus. I wonder how many people can tell that we've been with Jesus? And I don't say that in a twisted, you know, manipulative way, but the reality of it is the kingdom of God does things to us. His presence does things to us. It will put things in us that will change the way we think, that change the way we see things, and change the way we interact with each other and people in general. And so we've always said this in this series of the Holy Spirit, that there's a certain environment that the Holy Spirit loves to be a part of. And there are certain things that the Holy Spirit is, and certain fingerprints, if you would, of when He's involved with something, it produces a certain result. Everybody understand that? So the more we understand those things, the more that we will recognize when something is from the Spirit of God and when it's coming from the mind of the Father, or when it's just coming from the mind of a man. And it's interesting that, you know, the more time you spend in this, and the more time you, and I just say it like this, we should be, every time we go to the Word of God, you should be asking the Lord, show me some things that I've not seen before. You You know, the challenge is, and I've seen this in the body of Christ too, the challenge is because man is a three-part being, he is a spirit, he has a soul, which is his mind, which is where his emotions are seated, and he lives in this earth suit. And because that is what a man is, the challenge is that man, you'll always have the decision of whether you're going to function from the seat of your mind or you're going to function from the seat of your spirit, with your mind being influenced by your spirit. And it's important that we understand the things that we're making a decision off of, where are they coming from? Are they coming out of our spirit or are they coming out of our mind? And I have seen Christians that were making massive impact in the body of Christ. And they just made one slight shift from living out of their spirit to now they're living out of their mind. And because our mind is more familiar to us, we go with it. And then everything begins to sound so much more correct and so much more right and so much more logical. And so I've seen people completely get shipwrecked because of the fact that they were unable to discern. Or maybe it wasn't that they weren't able to discern. Maybe it was the fact that they were already given to their intellect. And so one day, because of little slight deposits, little at a time, all of a sudden they made the complete shift. And they begin functioning out of the rationale that came from the mental process. And it completely led them over another direction. And the sad thing is so many in the body of Christ, they don't recognize what the difference is. Because it sounds so right. It touches something in your soul. But it's not Him. Because the Spirit of God, it produces a certain thing. The Spirit of God thinks a certain way. And when we spend time with Him, it will produce a certain result in the way you react to things and the way you see things that you'll come to the place where you'll get less and less to where you fly off the handle at somebody or say something short or have a certain perspective. Have you ever noticed that the natural man loves to gravitate towards natural things, natural associations? And I'll say this, and we may get to this verse, we may not, but over in Colossians, and I know this may not fly very well, but you know what, I'm going to say it anyway. There's a whole lot in the body of Christ of people just liking to associate with people of like political persuasion, people of like pigment. I'm glad that, you know, that I don't know, maybe there is, but you know, how come we don't have churches that are only made up of people with beards or people with no hair? If you have hair, you can't go to the church, because all of us, you know, we have no hair and this is who we are. It sounds kind of stupid, but yet we have those things in so many other areas. But yet Jesus said, the Spirit of God said in Colossians that in the kingdom, He said, "There's not slave or free, Greek or Jew. There's none of those divisions." But yet, so much of the time, because we gravitate towards things that are natural, and we're comfortable with things that are natural, and we're familiar with things that are natural, that whether we even realize we're doing it or not, we gravitate towards those things. When the Spirit of God has called us, I don't care who the person sitting next to you, what their political view, whether they agree with you or not. You're not the standard. Okay. Did you hear what I just said? Everybody say, I'm here. You're not the standard. So we ought not be looking at everybody else according to whether or not you agree with me, whether or not you're righteous or not, whether or not you're holy or not, whether or not you're right or not, because you're not the standard. But see, the natural man likes to set itself up as the beacon of light, when really the only beacon of light, folks, is the Spirit of God. You're not the man. I'm not the man. You're not the woman. The Holy Spirit is the head. Jesus is the head of the body. But you understand what I'm saying. So we in the kingdom lifestyle, the kingdom understanding of how we interact with the Spirit of God, we need to understand and we need to be willing to submit to Him. Because He is the one that is final authority. The more time we spend with Him, the more time we take on His personality, His nature, His temperament. You know, I mentioned, you know, we don't fly off on our wife as much. Hopefully never. You guys ought to say amen. Because the Holy Spirit wouldn't do that. Or we won't take offense at something because something was said that didn't agree with us. I know I'm not talking about anybody in this room, but you all know somebody, right? And I know these aren't popular subjects, folks, but look, if we can't talk real about being a Christian, then what's the point? Because the world has seen so much junk out there, all in the name of, well, God told me, when it wasn't Him at all. And all we've simply done is muddy the waters for our own self because we've called things God for so long that we don't recognize when something is and when it's really not. So we need to understand that look, in the kingdom of God, like Jesus said like this, you know, imagine being around a bunch of disciples and each one of them was jockeying to be the man. Each one of them was jockeying to be his favorite. You know, and John and Peter had some things going on. Really, it was Peter had some things going on with John, but you know, they both had some things going on. But Jesus made this statement. In order to be the head in the kingdom, you got to learn how to serve. That's a mindset of the kingdom of God. That's a mindset like Paul brings out in his writings in 1 Corinthians, is you don't have to be the one that knows everything. And it's okay. That's the thing that's so great about the kingdom of God. It's okay if we don't, because we know somebody that does. Right? So we need to just forget about trying to be the one that knows everything about something, because that's a waste of time. The only thing you need to know is what you need to know right in the moment, and He'll give you that. So here in 1 Corinthians, I said Romans, right? In Romans chapter 11, he says this. He says, basically, he had just got done talking. If you read this chapter, he basically got done talking. He's basically saying, look, all of you folks that you have a certain vantage point about Israel, like God's done with them, it's all about us now, speaking of the church. He's saying you've got the wrong perspective. Because it's the Lord that brought you in, and He'll also bring them in. It's the root that supports you. You don't support the root. So He's already dealing with these subtle attitudes that creep in. If we walk in our natural man, these are going to crop up all the time, all the time, all the time. And it'll be obvious that they crop up because, you know, you'll start having perspectives about those that are not you. And they are along a certain line. And it usually is filtering them in comparison to what you believe. And therefore, since they don't agree with you, therefore, then they somehow have missed it, or they're somehow less. And all those things, that whole entire environment is simply just coming from a natural man mind. It's not coming from the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? So he's saying here, he just got done talking to these guys, look, it's the root that supports you. You don't support the root. So don't cast Israel aside. This isn't a sermon about Israel, but I'm just kind of giving you a background of the chapter. And then he talks about, at the end of this chapter, chapter 11, he says that verse 25, he says, I don't want you to be, brethren, to be uninformed on this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation. One of the marks of a natural man if you want to know, well, am I living on my natural man or not? Any given moment, I'm not talking about, you know, long term, because we can go in and out at any moment. If the more time we spend with Him, the more you'll recognize it, and the more you'll stop. You'll stop from going there. But He says, I don't want you to be wise in your own estimation. That doesn't mean you put yourself down. Did you hear what I just said? See, there's something really twisted when we read verses that talk about not being wise in your own estimation, and you go the opposite direction and start putting yourself down. That's twisted. That's as twisted as the other way. That's not from the Spirit of God either. So He says in verse 29, look, the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. And then He goes in verse 33, starts talking about the depths of the riches of the wisdom that God has and the knowledge that He has. And then He talks about in verse 34 about knowing the mind of the Lord. And Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthian church, he said, you know, if you live out of your spirit, you have the mind of Christ. I will certainly say this. If you've given yourself and developed in what the Bible calls praying in tongues, you're praying out of your spirit. Paul said in Ephesians, pray always in the spirit. Paying attention thereunto. If you've developed in those things and you've allowed the Spirit of God to have that part of your life, then the more you exercise that, it's amazing how many people that are, quote, full gospel people, or call themselves, quote, full gospel people, or call themselves spirit-filled people. Spirit-filled means you're influenced by His Spirit. But we never walk in that. It happened to us once on a certain date, and we might do it for 30 seconds every month and a half. But it's not a part of who we are. It should be a part of who we are. Because that's the connection, your spirit with His Spirit. Paul said it like this in his letter to the Corinthians. You're speaking words out, and attached to those words are the thoughts of your Father. And He's transferring the understanding of those things to your spirit. That ought to be a normal part of who we are as the new man. Because it's part of who you are. It's part of living spirit attentive. And so Paul is saying here in Romans, he says, look, he says the depths of the riches of the wisdom that God has and the knowledge that He has and he said, who's known the mind of the Lord? Or literally the point he's making here is actually the last part of that verse, which is in verse 34, Romans 11, who became His counselor? Because the more we live out of our spirit, and the more we exercise speaking, what the Bible calls speaking in tongues, we'll just use that term since the Bible uses that term. But I sometimes use a different term because people get weirded out and they've had religion twisted all up and anything, and they have a problem with it. And there's no reason for offense to happen before you hear. But we were created, you were created to speak out of your spirit and get things from the Spirit of God, from heaven, out of your spirit. Man was created to live there. So it ought to be something that's just a part of who you are, not just, well, I remember I raised my hand and, you know, and I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and it was on such and such a date and, you know, every now and again when I think about it, I do it for 10 seconds. That's not being spirit-filled. That's being spirit-associated, maybe. But Paul says, look, everything, and you go on to the end of this chapter, in chapter 11, Romans, he says, from Him, everybody say, from Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. From Him, through Him, and to Him are all things, and to Him be the glory. And then there's no chapter division, just keep on reading. He says, therefore what? Therefore because from Him, through Him, and to Him, from Him what? From Him all wisdom and all knowledge, and through Him is all wisdom and all knowledge, and back to Him is all wisdom and all knowledge. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God and the loving kindness of God, to present or exhibit or stand beside with your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. He's telling you that it's already acceptable to God, or it's well-pleasing to God. And he's saying this is merely your spiritual service, or it's your rational service of worship. And then he goes on to say, don't be conformed, or don't be squeezed into or molded into. Don't be squeezed by the world. Be molded into the world's way of thought process. You could say it like this. Don't think like a mere man. Don't allow yourself to live life like a mere man. Call it spiritual when it's really not. You know, and I've done it myself, but you know, and I don't know how much I want to get off into this, but folks, we really have to guard counterfeiting the Spirit of God. We really have to, because that grieves Him. Because what you're actually doing is you're sowing into your conscience something that you're telling your conscience is Him, but it's not Him. So let's just have an environment in our life. Let's just be the kind of people that have an environment where, number one, there's no pressure for you to open your mouth and for spiritual to fall out. Just go be with Him. Go spend time with Him. That'll come. Because it's only going to come through Him anyway. Because all things are from Him, through Him, and to Him. And so what we find is the more time we spend with Him, you just get raised up into Him. There's so much of this mess, and you guys have seen it. I mean, there's so much mess that people they feel this pressure to say things that are spiritual, to appear as if they're spiritual, and really, if you were going to do this, and we don't want to have this kind of environment either, but if you were going to examine what was just said, it's just not Him. It's like buying white bread that's... Not naming any brands, but how many of you have seen that white bread you get at home and it's just nothing there? I mean, you get a couple of pieces out, you throw something on it, and you might as well be eating, I don't know what, because there's nothing there. It's so full of air, there's nothing, there's zero nutrition at all. But then you get other pieces of bread, and that bread when you take it out of the loaf, man, it's obviously, there's something to this. There's some nutrition here. There's some substance here. Let's just love to be people that I don't have to demonstrate my spirituality to you. I want to be with Him. That it'll come just because I'm be with Him. I don't have to tell people, I know Jesus. Well, then we should be able to tell by how you react to things, how you interact with your wife, how you interact with your husband. We ought to be able to tell those things. You don't need to sell it. It'll just be there. So let's be those kind of people. Because Paul is saying, look, he says your spiritual form of worship is, look, everything comes from Him. It comes through Him. And it's going back to Him. So your logical service of worship is to present your body, he calls it in his letter to the Corinthians, a sanctuary for the Spirit of God. Don't be squeezed by the world system, but be transformed by allowing your mind to be renewed, and so that you can prove, everybody say prove. This word prove is a very interesting word because it actually is a word that means you just got off the couch. It actually means to prove genuine by putting it to the test. Prove it genuine by putting it to the test. Why is it that we're still having debates in the body of Christ about what God does and what He doesn't do? It's because nobody's ever put anything to the test to know. But He designed for us to be off the couch, be off the chair, be off of the behind the whatever it is, desk, chair, whatever it is, and He designed for us to be out there, be putting things to the test that you're learning in private, so that when the results happen, the Spirit of God is proving to you that it's genuine. And now you've got something to stand on. And having done all the stand therefore. He never designed for us to stand therefore of just having a verse and it's never been proven. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Our minds are transformed not just while we sit on the couch and read a verse. Our minds are transformed when we're out there getting to know the Spirit of God. He's built into us a love for His Word, but He's also built into us and teaching us on an ongoing, constant basis. This is how I think. This is how I react to things. This is how I see things. This is how I work. This is my heart's desire. These are the things that are coming from Father. In this spontaneous moment, right this moment, this is what's Father. And so if you'll step on this, prove it, put it to the test, let me prove to you it's genuine. And that's what this kingdom life is. Anything short of that is short-circuited. And so he says, he starts talking about the grace that was given to him. Everybody say grace. The grace that was given to him. In Galatians, he mentions it again. He says it like this. He said, you know, when I went and spoke to the apostles, they saw that the God that was working for Peter was the same God that was working for me. The grace of God is the working of His power. Because of His presence. 1 Corinthians 15, the message of the gospel is Jesus Christ is alive right this moment. When I was raised in church, the message of the gospel was Jesus died on the cross. Exactly. End of story. But that's not the whole story. That's just the index. The story, then the message of the gospel is that Jesus is alive right this moment. And so here's the challenge that we have, and it's such an amazing adventure. If we'll allow the Spirit of God to develop in these areas, and this is part of what I believe He wants to do. Hopefully next week I'll have a really exciting announcement for you guys. But I'm not going to say anything until after the movie. But the thing that's exciting, folks, is the Spirit of God, he's now. He's right this moment. And He wants us to learn how to live right this moment. And what we need to realize is it's not just about learning a doctrine about this or that or the other. Those things are great. We need those things because we got to think straight. Believe me, we got to think straight. Because you're not going to fellowship with the Father all around things that you guys don't agree on. He's right, so we might as well just stop foolishness and go with what He says. But He says, the grace has been given to me. By the grace has been given to me. And He talks a lot about this in 1 Corinthians. They talk a lot about it in the book of Acts. I think I have the Spirit of God on this. He says this in a number of places. See, Jesus to him was a real right now presence. The reason why David was ahead of his time is because he said, I see always before me the presence of Him. That wasn't the environment of law. But yet David, in that environment, ahead of his time, said, I see the presence of Him before me always. So, we talked about this last week, and I'm going to just touch base here, and I'm going to jump over to Galatians. But he talks about the fact that by the grace given to me, he says, I say to every one of you, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. That's, again, tied back to the previous chapter. Put it back in the context. And it doesn't mean you twist it all up and start thinking about yourself bad. At some point, I can almost see the Spirit of God. At some point, he's saying, my heart's desire is just to see the body of Christ stay out of the ditch on both ends. Please. That's just my heart's desire. And so he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Well, how are we supposed to think then? Well, he says, think according to sound judgment. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith. You know how many books have been written about what is this measure of faith? How much is the measure of faith? How, you know, and we talked about this. Jesus made it very clear. When he sent his disciples out, what did he say? He said, freely you've been given. Everybody say, freely.
Freely.
I've been given.
I've been given.
So freely give. So how much is the measure of faith? 100% is yours. 100% is available. What determines how much you walk in? How much you step out on and try? How much you're willing to put to the test so he can prove it to you genuine? He wants to prove to you that what's in you is genuine. So you, in the hard places, when all of hell comes against you, you can just laugh in its face because you're a day late and a dollar short. I've already stood on this, put it to the test, and I've already found it's genuine. So you can take a hike. So he says, he's given everybody a measure of faith, just as there's many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. You know, do we understand that some places in your translations are kind of subject to the translator's theological background? Would you all agree with that? Okay. If you don't agree with that, then you need to, because that's true. Especially when he goes over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, the Hebrew words that are used there, sickness and pain, they're translated sickness and pain any place else in your Bible, except in that verse. Because we wouldn't want to translate it like that, because then that would mean that you really did bear your sicknesses. Even though Matthew said that's what it says. Okay, you get the point. But what happens so many times when we read verses, we get stuck in mindsets, in ruts. And this is what I'm saying. Folks, when you read your Bible, please do not read it in the same rut every time. Because isn't it amazing? I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. Isn't it amazing that out of one side of our mouth we say, yeah, when we get to heaven, we're going to be learning so much stuff, we'll never quit learning. But out of the other side of our mouth, we act like the way we know this is the only way it is. There's something twisted about that. Because if we're ever going to continually be learning when we're in heaven, do you not think that all that is available now? Hello? So let's start asking for it. Because I promise you, there's more layers of things in these verses than what you may know. I know where I'm coming from, folks, because I've been subjected to a whole lot of lines of thinking. I was raised in just about every denomination there is. Got out into the full gospel. Thought I had the corner market on what this thing said. And then God messed me up. And said, you need to relook at this. Oh. So he puts a hunger in you and then he draws you in. And he starts showing you more stuff. That's the way God is. Don't ever think you've arrived when it comes to what you know, because he knows more still and he wants to share it with you. He gets a joy out of opening another layer, and you see it, and you're like totally blown away, and he loves watching that reaction. And it's almost like heaven says, "You think that's good? Watch this." But he says, Paul says here in Romans, he says, "Look, through the grace that's been given to me, don't think yourself more highly than you ought to think. Think accurately according to the measure of faith that you've been practicing." The word function there, I don't know what it is in the King James. Verse 4, just as there are many members in one body, all members do not have the same. This says function, NASB. Some of the other translations say something else. The challenge with this is what this communicates, and it comes from denominational doctrinal theological thinking, is that certain ones have certain gifts and certain ones don't. Well, let's just keep reading and let's just see if that's actually the way this should be read. He said in verse 5, he says, there's one body in Christ and individual members. This is the same content as what's over in 1 Corinthians. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Incidentally, that word grace given is kind of weird, because when I say something's given to you, you're automatically thinking that's in the, if I could use this term, that's in the active tense, because I'm giving it to you. But that's not what this verse is saying. That's not, this word is not in the active. It's not, the focus is not on what's given to you. If it was, it would be in the active tense. It's not. It's in the passive tense, which means the focus of these verses is not what's being given, it's what you're receiving. Even though our English language doesn't say that. So the subject of this verse is not the gifts that are given, it's on the receiving end, what are you receiving? Because to whatever measure you give, it'll be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Again, how much is available? 100%. How much do you get to operate in? However much you put to the test. And whatever you give out, it's measured back to you. Whatever your measure of putting out, it's measured back to you. 100% is available. Does this make sense? Can you see how messed up man has made this? We've got whole people that are running over to this meeting and that meeting and this meeting. Well, this person flows in this. I got to get over there. I got to get them to lay hands on me. Why? Because they got a gift and I don't. Really? That's not your Bible. And that's definitely not Holy Spirit. You got that from some guy's teaching. Because Paul is saying everything is available. Now, let's keep on reading. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace that's received, each of us is to exercise, everybody say exercise, that means you put to the use, accordingly. And then he uses some examples. If it's in the area of prophesy, then prophesy according to the proportion of your faith. In other words, if you're developing in the prophetic, then you prophesy according to the amount of faith you're willing to step out on. And then when you step out on it, the more it gives you back. And so you start growing. You start developing more and more and more and more and more. In other words, and then he goes on to say, he says, if it's in the area of service, then you know, serve according to the portion of the faith that you've got, that you're willing to step out on. And as you step out, however you measure it out, it'll be measured back to you, and you develop in that area. All he's simply saying is, because all things come from him, are through him and to him, then don't get this idea that you're going to be separate from him. Just flow with him. Be willing to go on the journey with him. It's all coming from him. How you develop in all of these areas is in direct proportion to how much you're willing to hang out with him. And Jesus is still saying the same thing. Freely you've been given, so freely give. And whatever measure you measure out, it's measured back to you. 100% is yours. So now, if these verses were simply talking about, well, some people have the gift of this, and some people have the gift of that, but I don't. Then basically, you know, you might be able to hang your head on that kind of mentality on the first one, because there's so much of the body of Christ that don't even have any idea what the prophetic is. They could easily say, well, that's just not my gift, only because they've never developed in it. And they had some yahoo tell them that, you know, God has certain gifts and you don't have all of them, because after all, 1 Corinthians says he gives severally as he wills. That's not at all what that means. Because he just got done telling the whole letter that all things belong to you. So all of them are ours. But if you go on, with that mentality here in Romans, I mean, you might be able to get away with it in the area of the prophetic. But what about in the area of service? Are you trying to tell me that, you know, some people are supposed to serve and nobody else is because that's their gift and it's not yours? What about in the area of exhorting? Well, you know, you got the gift of exhortation. I don't, so I don't have to. Does that hold water? No. Because the focus on these verses is not the gift that's given, active tense. It is what you're willing to receive, step out on, and develop. Passive tense. Does that make sense? Because the reality is this, and go to Galatians. And the reality is this. There's so much I want to go into. I don't have time, but... after today, I want you to read the book of I want you to read the letter to the Galatian church. And I want you to read it unlike you've ever read it before in your life. Like you've never read it before. I remember there was a class I took when I was in Bible college. And basically, they said, now here's what you're going to do. You're going to read, and I forget if it was John. I think it was John. But there's actually a book out there that does the same thing with the book of Galatians. Read it and reread 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 it. Read it about, you know, read it a bunch of times. And every time you read the whole letter, write down what you get and then read it again. Then write down what you get and then read it again and write down what you get. And you'll find that as you do that, what you're getting is changing. It's developing. I want to submit to you that we've read the letter of Galatians way too theologically for way too long. Because understand that the way the mind of a man works, the mind of a man, have you ever noticed that it always seems to think along certain processes so that by the time you're done, all the religions look the same? And if we let Christianity get thrown in there, then it looks the same too. It's like the mental realm of man stamps and squeezes certain things and they all come out looking the same. They all have a dude at the top of the food chain. And they all have a, if you believe in him, when you die, you're going to go someplace else. If you don't believe in him, sucks to be you. It doesn't matter who it is at the top of the food chain. But that's the cookie cutter mold. That's the, if you could say it, that's the template for religious thought process that comes from man. So we've read those things and we focused in on, in Galatians, we focused in on this conversation of, okay, so now are you justified by what you do? So that when you're off the planet, you could be the Jesus, or that's not the way it is. I want to submit to you that if you'll read this the way it's actually written, it's not having that conversation. It's having the conversation of what environment are you living in based on what you're allowing to speak to you. In Galatians here, watch this. In verse 16, chapter 2, he says, knowing, everybody say knowing. Now, this word knowing, he says, you, by the time we've gotten here in our conversation, this is something that you have known in the past with the existing result. You know it right now, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. Knowing that a man, and this word man is talking about all of mankind. So this is how a man is wired. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of law. Now, your verse says the law. In that context, because it was the influence of the Jewish system, it's okay to put that in there. But understand, in the original Greek text, the word the does not appear. Because it doesn't matter whether it's the law or just any kind of law. This is the environment that natural man is familiar with. This is all he knows. So he's saying, look, you need to understand this. Because we know that a natural man is not justified. The word justified, literally, it's in the perfect. It's in the present tense, which means what, guys? Ongoing constantly. But it's not in the active tense, which means it's not something he's generating. It's in the passive tense, which means it's speaking to him. He's not receiving on an ongoing, constant basis. Mankind does not receive the message that he's justified by works. Now, the word of law, the word of literally means that belongs to. It's the same thing in these verses where it talks about, you know, we translate it in the same verse, verse 16, but through faith in Christ. The word in is not the word in at all. It doesn't even appear. It's the word of, which means it belongs to him. It's the same word used both places. So what is he saying here? He's making a statement. This is not a religious statement. This is not a Christian statement. This is a statement that all of mankind, we need to understand this, that the way a man is wired, he will never receive from the environment of law, he'll never receive ever. Now, ever, in the future, ever, he'll never receive the message that he's upright and justified. Ever. Because that's not the message that belongs to the environment of law. He says, but through the faith of Jesus Christ, or through the faith that belongs to Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ. Now the word in there is into Christ, or in reference to Christ, or I like this one, for the use or service of him. He says, not by or out of works of law, since out of the works of law, no flesh will ever receive as an ongoing basis realization that they're flawless and upright. Ever. Never. Ever, never, ever, never, ever. Ever say never. So when God says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed, he's telling us this, that for a man, your job, and he goes on to say this, he says in verse 19, through law I died to law so that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Everybody say it's no longer I. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, we've preached this and taught about it, taught it like it's theological and, oh, ain't it good, but we don't live it like that. You say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Because as soon as you open your mouth, he doesn't fall out, you do. But you don't exist. He does. And picture it like this. In Romans 13, 14, Paul said this to the church in Rome. He says, put on, everybody say put on. Put on like clothes the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Put on like clothes the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens? You ever notice that when somebody puts on a costume? You know, when you put on a costume, we're talking about the whole thing, mask, clothes, everything. When you put that costume on, you try to act like what you're wearing, right? It'd be senseless to act like you when you just put a costume on somebody else, right? So when you put that costume on, you're trying to act who you've put on, except for when you become a Christian. Because of the fact that we've never left that environment of law, and the only message we're getting, I don't care what you say in church, the only message we're getting is, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything. It affects how you treat everybody else. You haven't put Christ on because Christ is not telling you that. You still have you on. But when we put Christ on, we act like him, we speak like him. He wants us to put him on because, my gosh, he gave us his spirit so that we would know what he thinks. So it's not a mystery of how we conduct ourselves. He gave us His Spirit so we would know what He's saying at any given moment, so that when we're in the presence of other people, if He wants to say something to somebody, well, you've already got Him on, so let's let Him talk. Well, brother, he doesn't use me like that. No, He does use you that way, but you've never developed that. So let's start developing it. Because all the gifts belong to you. Here's the environment that we're talking about here. It says that we know that there's no human being on the planet that will ever receive as a message from that environment that is law, he'll never receive the message that he's upright and flawless, ever. Because that message doesn't belong to the environment of law. That message only belongs to Christ. And if we'll hang around with Him and receive being influenced by Him, then everything that we get from Him has that DNA in it. That you're upright and flawless, that you're upright and flawless. So, therefore, you can tell someone who's not hanging around Him, regardless of what they say, because they don't act like someone who is a child of the King. They act like the hired help out in the barn. That all the evil is in the master's house. They don't act like a child of the King. They act like a slave. They're not hanging around Him. Because if you're hanging around Him, He's not reinforcing to you that you're no good. And therefore, it doesn't affect. In fact, you know, we talked about the environment of law. The environment of law, Romans 2, he says this, that anybody who lives in an environment of law, out of self-protection, they become a law to themselves. That's Romans 2, verse 14 and 15. Yeah, but Pastor, that's talking about something else, is it? I'll submit to you that there's a whole lot more layers than what we know than what we've been adopted as what this is saying. The environment of law, out of self-protection, someone who lives in an environment that's a legalistic environment, it doesn't matter what area of life it is, doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's trying to live up to your, you know, this image that your mom and dad gave you. It doesn't matter what if you're trying to live up to this image or that image. Whatever it is, whatever area of law that you have allowed to reside in your thought process, in your life, that's governing your responses, your actions, your attitudes in response to you and anybody else around you. However it is, whatever's causing you, whatever's throwing you over into arrogance in any given subject matter in your life, because you didn't even realize that what throws you there is because you're living in an environment of law, and it's just simply a self-protection mechanism. You've made things, you've become a law unto yourself. Everybody else, you got to agree with me. If you don't agree with me, you're wrong, I'm not. That's the environment of law. They become a law to themselves. You know that. They show the work of law written in their hearts because their conscience bears witness. Bears witness of what? It bears witness of the fact that they themselves, they're a law unto themselves, and that the works of law have been written in their heart. The result of that, their thoughts will alternately accuse or defend them, depending on the situation. That's somebody who's living in an environment of law. And then Romans 4 says that law produces, the environment of law produces anger. It doesn't mean God's mad at you. This verse doesn't say that. This is in the present middle, which means the middle tense means that the individual who's living in the environment of law, they are participating in the results of their own actions. The environment of law will do nothing. It will never speak to you and say that you're upright, that you're justified, that you're flawless and blameless. It'll never speak that to you. It'll always speak to you, you're not good enough. You failed again. You're going to lose it all. You're not any good. And what does it do? It creates anger on the inside of you. If you've ever met anybody that they'll get angry at the drop of a hat, they're living here. This is why they're getting angry at the drop of a hat. It doesn't matter where it is. And you know, they can try to spin it. They can try to, no. But you can't get around this. The word is the word. This word is true. It's telling on you. Any area that tweaks you and makes you angry, if it's not a righteous indignation, and you know, there are things that govern that too, so don't go try to spin that. Usually what's producing that is an environment of law in that area of your life is speaking to you constantly. So we just need to hang out with Jesus in that area more. Because he'll take that all away. Because the first thing he begins to share with you that you're upright, you're holy, you're blameless, you're him. In fact, you don't exist anymore. Your life is hidden in him. You don't think there was any person more angry than Saul of Tarsus? Some of the most miserable people on the planet are Christians who still live in an environment of law, and that law is speaking to them every day of their life. And they treat everybody else around them according to that law. All the while saying, oh, I know Jesus. But Jesus is not he's not treating you like this. He doesn't have this environment of law holding your feet to the fire. Oh, you failed today. So then why would we turn around and preach somebody else that way? Because he's not treating us that way. If you read Romans 4, you'll find out that he goes into that. And he says, verse 9, chapter 12, you don't need to go there, but I'll just read it to you. He said, let love be without hypocrisy. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Why? Because your brother, Jesus, he does nothing but honor you. If you don't believe that, then you've been listening to that bad babysitter. Because that's all that Jesus ever does. He'll only honor you. So therefore, if we're going to put him on, and we're going to spend time with him, then everybody that we're around, we will honor them. Because our older brother is honoring us. Our father is honoring us. So therefore, I don't care whether it's your wife, your husband, your co-worker, I don't care who it is, you will honor them because you're on the receiving end of it. That's when you know that you've really put on Christ. Because you talk like him, you act like him, you respond like him, and then you let him speak. Because it all belongs to you. Do you guys get anything out of this at all? All right, go ahead and stand up.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.